Let's go to the book of Romans, chapter 12, starting from verse 1. Book of Romans, chapter 12, start from verse 1 and 2.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
St. Paul was concerned about the Jewish people and Jewish nation. Now he's generally talking to everyone, including the church. He says, I beg you, I request you. And what is he trying to say? He's saying, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Body plays important part in our life. Without body, we cannot live in this world. We need body, and so body says, body needs food, body needs rest, body needs everything, but the body, same time, body craves for sin. Body is the one giving us hard time. It is difficult to control the body. So we living in this body, so the body craves for sin. But once we are born again, children of God, body doesn't control us. Amen. The spirit and soul supposed to control the body. Amen. So he's saying we have to sacrifice our body. And how? As a living sacrifice. When they used to bring the sacrifice in olden days, they cannot bring the blemish animal for sacrifice, and they cannot bring the dead animal for sacrifice. The sacrifice to God should be blameless and healthy one. So once we are born again, children of God, we should give our body as a living sacrifice. That means this body should not be given to anybody else, but to God. Our God is a jealous God. He doesn't want us to worship the Hindu God and same time worship the Jehovah. Other people, they have many gods. Our God says, you have only one God. And we supposed to go after that God. So our body is the temple of the living God. So we should sacrifice our body to God as a living sacrifice. And when we do that, the word of God says, which is your reasonable service? If you can give the money, you can give a tithes and offerings and say, I'm not going to go to church today. I have something to do. So somebody says, could you give this money to church, put the tithe for me? God doesn't want money. What he wants? He wants you.
Amen.
So he says, this is your reasonable service. You have to go to church yourself. Somebody says, could you go to church today and give prayer requests for me? I'm busy today. I'm going somewhere else. You have to bring your body to subjection under authority of God and give your body to God and say, Lord, my body is your body. Because this body is not ours. Read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 19 and 20, what he says. He says, he has purchased you with his own blood. You have belonged to him.
What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
So we are belong to God. And how? Because he purchased us with his own blood. Jesus Christ. That means we were belong to somebody. Mm-hmm. We were under the authority of devil.
Amen.
We were sold out to devil. He defeated the devil and he shed his blood. So our life is precious in the sight of God because we are belong to him. And he says, when you belong to him, That means your body, soul, and spirit is belong to God. And so he said, glorify God with your body, soul, and spirit. Once you are washed with the blood of Jesus Christ, you are thoroughly washed. There is not a single place is not washed. When God does some job, he does thorough job.
Amen.
Some people say, I'm born again, but I'm still having this bondage and that bondage. You are free. But you are yourself is in bondage. You are pretending that you are in bondage. Because he said, with his stripes, we are healed.
Right.
Some people say, but I'm still sick. You are believing in your mind you are sick. But you are set free. You are already washed, cleansed, and you are healed in the mind of God. But it has to come to you. That I am free. And some people are saying, oh, we are born again, we are free, but we have to, certain things you have to set free. The curse from your family or bloodline and this and that. This is ignorance. Because people can tell you, you are born again. There is a one person comes and tells this, and I'm not going to tell his name. So it says, you are born again, but you are still under some bondages and under some curses. You are free, but you do not know that you are free.
This is
just like, I'll give an example. Please. Just think there is a dog or a lion or an elephant tied to the chain for maybe 2 or 3 years. And they go in a circle, and that's the only place they know we cannot go further than that. Even though you take the chain off, they will not run away thinking they are tied.
Mm-hmm.
They will stay in that area. They will not run away. Elephant is a very strong animal. He can kick that chain and run.
Yeah.
But when they're training him, they train him and put it in one place. And if he goes further, they prick him. And so he doesn't go in a certain limit. You take the chain off, he will stand. He will never go. So the same way, if you are born again, child of God, and if you know you are set free, you're free to go. But you're pretending, oh, my mother and father, they had this kind of sickness and disease. So it will come in me because I have their blood. No, that curse is gone. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, it says,
Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree.
So now we are free. You tell that person, if you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and if you receive Jesus in your heart, and you apply the blood of Jesus Christ in your life, you are set free. Because we have a new covenant with the blood of Jesus Christ. Once you are in that blood covenant, you are not bound with anything. You shall know the truth, and truth shall set you free. What is the knowing the truth? Jesus Christ said, I am the truth.
Right.
Once you know Jesus Christ, means what? Knowing means what? Intimate relationship with Jesus. When Jesus is in me, and Jesus is in me, not in one corner of my life, full of life,
amen,
then I have freedom. You remember one day, someone gave the story, Reverend Bunky. He said, there was a man, and Jesus came to his house, and he said, Jesus, come and live in my house. And he kept him in the second floor. He said, you stay in second floor, I stay in first floor. So what happened? Devil came to bother him, and he shouted, and he said, help, help, help. Jesus didn't come down. Devil left, and he called Jesus. He said, Jesus, why you didn't come when I had the problem? He said, you know what? You told me to stay upstairs. So you gave me the upstairs so I could not come downstairs. So he said, okay, now, what I'm going to do, I'm going to take this room and you get all of these rooms, okay, Jesus, and I'll get this room. He said, okay. Devil comes back again, start to beating him up. He said, Jesus, please help me. Jesus didn't come. He said, but that your room was your private room. I could not come. So he got the message. Now this time, he said, Jesus, whole house is for you. You can go anywhere. Nothing is belong to me now. It's yours. Next day, devil comes. He sees Jesus. He starts shivering. And he bowed down and ran away. The man said, this time he didn't do anything to me. You know why? Because I am the Lord of this house now. So what I'm trying to say, if we give little bit place to Jesus Christ and little bit place to Satan, Jesus cannot do anything for you. You have to be sold out to Jesus Christ. That's why he says, give your body as a living sacrifice acceptable to the Lord. Book of Romans chapter 12 verse 2.
And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Okay. When you sacrifice your body, then he says, now you do not conform to this world, but you transform by the renewing of your mind. Once the devil is out of your life, the house is nice and clean. And the devil says, I'm going looking around for someone. And he says, well, that house is still clean, empty. So he comes back and what? He ruins the house 7 times more than before. Why this happened? Because this body is clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. This body should be filled with Jesus. There should not be room for anybody else. That's why he said, now body you gave it to the Lord. Once you give the body to the Lord, then your mind. Because body is trying to defeat your mind. But if your mind is belong to God, because the word of God says, Jesus Christ is our mind. Means we have the mind of Christ. How did he get the mind of Christ? When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he says, I'll be head and you'll be my body. So we are the body of Christ and we have the head, Jesus Christ. When we have head, Jesus Christ, that means what we have? We have the mind of Christ. That's why he says, do not conform to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That means now we have to have the mind of Christ. If we are born again children of God, then what we say? Jesus Christ is Lord. If you are born again and you receive Jesus Christ in your heart as your Savior and you did not make him Lord, that means you are still in trouble. You say, Lord, here is my body, here is my mind, I give it to you. And I want my mind to be mind of Christ. Completely transformed. Once you have mind of Christ, something happens. He says, that he may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If your mind is the devil's territory or the devil's battlefield, you cannot think about godly thing. If you are, say, you are born again, you read the Bible, you study the word, and you pray and have a fellowship with the saints of God. And night time, if you get that dream, what do? Turn on the light, get your Bible, start reading and start praying. And I want to see how that devil is coming on your mind. Because the word of God says, when you renew your mind, then you know what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God for you. Once your mind is be clear, and then you know how to do the perfect will of God for you. If I'm thinking so many things, I'm bombarded with a worldly thing, and say, God is not speaking to me, because you have no time to listen to God. Amen. God only speaks to you when you sit in the feet of God and talk to him. Romans chapter 12 verse 3.
For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith.
Don't think that I am better than somebody. I have this knowledge and I have that knowledge. He says, think soberly. That means if somebody is drunk, man, he'll say, I'm a king, or I'm this, I'm that, because he is not sober-minded. They can fantasize when they are drunk, because their mind is not right. But he say, if you are sober-minded, then you know what is the will of God and what his faith life is all about. Please read the last part of it.
But to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of...
Think soberly means stay in the Spirit of God. Stay in the will of God. People are saying, we cannot live a holy life, and there is none can live holy life. And the other day I was listening to one big preacher in Philadelphia. And I was listening to him when he was giving the study and book of Romans chapter 7. And he starts saying, no one can live clean and holy life. Because St. Paul had the problem and we will have the problem. I said, no sir, St. Paul didn't have the problem. He said the flesh has the problem. When we got the Spirit of God, we are free.
Amen.
We are not in bondage. We can live a clean and holy life by the Spirit of God, and we are transformed. So he said, when you talk like that, you don't have faith. If you have faith in God, we do godly things. There is nothing impossible for man if you have faith in God. You remember that man came to Jesus Christ and said, I took my son to your disciples and they could not cast out the demon. He said, do you think you can do something for me? What Jesus Christ said, if you believe, there is nothing impossible. Then the man came to know that he didn't have the faith. Then he cried and said, Lord, help me for my unbelief. And he cried with the tears. So the word of God says, if you have faith in God, you can do all things. If St. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Then you ask the question to somebody, if St. Paul says, I can do all things, means what? I can do all things, but I cannot live holy life. I can do all things, but I am living a defeated life. That will be foolish.
Sure.
I can do all things means all things I can do by faith in Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ is in me, then I can live victorious life.
Yes.
I cannot say I'm a born-again person, but I do not have a victory over my flesh. That means you're not sold out to Jesus yet. Once you are sold out to Jesus Christ, once you have sober mind, then you are going to live according to the measure of faith God has given to you. Nobody can say I don't have faith. If you are born again, child of God, you got a faith. How did he get it? Book of Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2, he says, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Author means what? A creator. When I say I'm an author of this book, that means I created that book. So if Jesus Christ is author of our faith, and how the faith comes?
By hearing.
And hearing of the word of God. So if you hear the word, who is the word? Jesus Christ. If you hear Jesus Christ every day, means you listen to him, your faith is going to increase.
Amen.
And your faith will challenge because you have the Creator living in you. So you have no short of faith because Jesus Christ lives in us, who is the Creator of faith. Okay, Romans chapter 12 verse 4.
For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth with exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness.
If somebody says, I'm a child of God and I have gifts of God, All the gifts are given for the edification of the body of Christ. God does not give anything to be proud. God has given you that talent to bring somebody up to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ or build them in Jesus Christ. And one day I was walking on the street and God spoke to me. And I had a Bible in my hand and I was reading the Bible like a newspaper. And that was a Good Friday month. I heard the voice in Bombay City. You are crucifying me. I looked back. There were so many people, but nobody looking at me. And so I just start going. I heard it again. You crucifying me. Then I looked up. I said, I was not there 2,000 years ago. How could I crucify Jesus at that time? Then the word of God came to me. If you are not listening to the word of God and you rebel against the word of God, you are crucifying Jesus Christ. I cried. I said, Lord, please forgive me. I want to change and I want to be transformed. And from that day, I started reading the Bible and studying the word and completely sold out to Jesus. So the word of God says you have to teach one another and bring one another to maturity of Christ. But if I am not living a good life, I cannot teach anybody. So we have to be very clear. If you have a ministry, you exhorting somebody, how do you do it? With the simplicity, he that ruleth diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. That means whatever you're doing it, do it for the Lord, not for pride. Once you are rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ, you do not be shaken by the winds of doctrine. You should be rooted and grounded in the Lord. Verse 9.
Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned to one another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality.
Now all of this good character comes once you are child of God and serving the Lord from your heart. He says, let love be without what? Dissimulation. What does it mean? Right. That means your love should not be a show. Your love should be genuine love. So what I'm trying to say, people can show you the hug and kiss and next day they can kick you. That is not the love. Love comes from heart. Somebody comes, honey, I got the roses, 12 roses, but he had the girlfriend in the office. If you have pure love, your wife doesn't need roses. She can find love in your eyes, in your heart, in your talk, in your life. You don't win somebody with money. You can get everything by money, but you cannot get one thing by money. What is that?
Love.
You cannot purchase love by money. People try to purchase love with money. That is not a real love. Your love should be genuine love. If you're coming to church, you say, this is my church. You should say, I go to my church. Where is your church? My church is International Christian Fellowship. You have to say, it's my church. It's my ministry. It's my work. That's what you have to say. Some people come like a stranger, then they stay strangers. You have to get enrolled in the ministry. This is my job. This is my work. This is my ministry. This is my people. That's the way to do it. Okay, go ahead. Verse 14.
Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep.
Bless them which persecute you, and curse them not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Which is easy? Rejoicing sounds easy. Weeping sounds difficult. Which is easy? Some person says, I don't cry easily. I can have parties. I have no problem. But I tell you, rejoicing is hard. weeping is easy. I'll prove it to you. Just think that you had a wife and your wife divorced you. And now she is marrying with your best friend. And she invites you for the wedding, for the party. How do you feel? That time you don't feel like rejoicing. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. If somebody is dead and everybody is crying and they stand and say good things about that person and you standing there, automatically tears will come in your eyes because his crying is easy. Rejoicing is hard. But if you are a child of God, you will cry with people who cry, to rejoice people with rejoice. Verse 16.
Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men.
Why you said, if it is possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. It is very difficult to live with everyone with peace. Some people are troublemakers and they go anywhere and they make trouble. So to have peace with those people is difficult. Just like a prodigal son. If prodigal son comes back to father, he comes repented, take him. If he comes with a sword and say, Dad, give my rest of money, then kick him back. Get out of my place. So we need people to be transformed, changed. And then the word of God says it is possible to live with them with peace. There are people you want to be peaceful, they don't want to be peaceful. How can you have peace with those kind of people? Only peace comes with the Prince of Peace. Once they receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, then we can have peace. But it is impossible to have peace with everybody. But he says, as much as possible. But Jesus Christ is saying, live peaceably with everybody. But he says, if it is possible. Okay. Verse 19.
Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord.
Revenge is mine. So God can take the revenge. We leave it in the hand of God. Let's read in the book of Leviticus, chapter 19. Leviticus 19:18.
Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord.
Now this has said in the Old Testament, but they could not do it. It was impossible for those people. Why? Because they didn't have the victory. Jesus Christ, the only one, can give you victory over sin and defeat. These things were said long time ago. Before that was, what was the commandment? Tooth for tooth, an eye for eye. But now, we don't have to. Jesus says, if somebody slaps in this cheek, sure, turn another one. So only this can be done by grace. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 35.
To me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste.
If you try to take revenge, it might take years. It might take a long time. And you lose your peace, you lose your blessing, leave it to me. I'll take care. God can bring anyone from the throne to the floor. I believe those people who are going against God, what we have to do, say, first you pray for them. And then say, Lord, if that person doesn't come to you, I release to you. Do whatever you want to do. And God will take the revenge. Okay, let's finish a couple of verses. Go back to the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 20 and 21.
Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head.
Now here is saying, if your enemy hungry, feed him. How many people go to feed the enemy? We are doing it. We are helping Sudanese people. We are helping all these Palestinian people. We're giving food to everybody. They are saying America is a what? Food basket to the world. I'm talking individually. One man came to my church and start bragging about his religion and start bragging about his caste. And I was there for the first day in that town. I came here to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, come to my town. Nobody knows you here. We will give you food. We will give you money. We will take care of you. I said, sir, let me tell you. The day is coming. I should not be telling him. But I said, the day is coming. You will be lying down in your bed and dying. Know your caste. Know your religion. Know your friends will help you. Then you will know how Jesus helps me. And 6 months later, that man's friend came, say good morning. And they were working at a construction workers. And by joke, he just threw a metal object, not thinking that it will hit him. He hit on his knee. All of a sudden, knee swelled like this and could not go to work. He lost his job, lost his friend. Nobody could come, and he was dying without food. And somebody from that neighborhood came to my church and said, that man, such and such a man, is in very bad shape. I took a grocery in the bag. I took some money and went to his house. I said, sir, didn't I say someday Jesus will help you? And I'm here to help you now. I gave him a food. I gave him the money, and then he came to church. Revenge is God's, and God will take care. The word of God says, if your enemy hungry, feed them. Now this scripture is taken from Book of Proverbs chapter 25. Let's read that. Verse 21 and 22.
If an enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat, and if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee.
This is what the proverb says. Paul takes that verse and put it back here. And he says, this is what's written in the Old Testament. Not a single person was able to do it. But now we can do it because of the grace of God. If you are a born-again child of God, we can do it. And he says, therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, that thou shalt heap up the coals of fire on his head. Now somebody says, what is that if I keep the coal of fire on his head? He'll be burned. But the meaning is this. In those days, people, when they are cold and they are walking on the street and freezing to death, so what they do, they carry the bucket, and in that bucket there are coals of fire. And they carry on that head, so their whole body will be warm and heated, and they will not die in that cold. Like in those days, we didn't have the heating system. They will keep the coals of fire in their house, even though they are doing it in India and other countries today. They have the bucket, and there are nets in the bucket, and they put the coals and fire and burn it and put it. That fire will keep on burning 3-4 hours, and so they get the heat in that house. So that's what he's saying, the coal of fire keeping on their head, not the direct coal, but the bucket or some container, and then they put it on the fire, and that keeps the heat coming to them. And in that winter time, it's a warm feeling comes to them. That's what you will be doing, and then God will reward you. You keeping them warm, keeping them healthy, and providing their needs, God will bless you. Go back to the Romans. Verse 12:21.
Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good.
Jesus Christ did it. And on the cross, what did he say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. So we have to learn to help others. I told you one time, the man kicked me out from his town. He said, never come back to my town. And when he was dying in the hospital, I went and prayed for him, and God healed him. And the cancer was like a tumor, like a coconut size. I prayed, and the coconut size of tumor disappeared overnight. And the man went home rejoicing. The tumor disappeared. You don't listen.
I had one hanging over there, my elbow over there.
He came with the water hanging like this. And my wife said, go to hospital. They will put the needle, take the water out. You'll feel better. He said, I know, but I came here. Pastor Peter could pray for me. I prayed. What happened? The water disappeared and become a lump there. And that lump become like a hard stone. And he said, Pastor Peter, that water disappeared. The lump is here. It's not hurting me, but it's, do you think it can be moved? I said, if the water disappeared, that can disappear. And he showed me in the car. You remember? And I prayed for him in the car. Following Sunday, he comes, rolled his sleeves. He said, that thing disappeared. No more water, no more tumor. Everything is gone. Our God is a good God. Amen. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God.
Yes, you are.
Thank you, Lord, for touching us, healing us,
yes,
delivering us, setting us free. You have given us the mind of Christ. We have belonged to you. We cannot live according to our will. We want to do your will.
Yes.
We pray for our enemies. Bless the people. Supply their needs. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.